What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Anxiety Now, the best podcast on the mother effing planet. I am your host, Jordan Rabold, and I am here without any co-hosts, no guests, nobody, just me for an hour. I know, you know what? This week, I almost thought about having a guest. I briefly thought about it, and then I realized, oh, I would have to plan around their life, and I have no interest in that. I have no interest in planning around anybody else's life. It's all about me, baby. It's all about me. I got no kids. I got no wife. I got nothing. There's two ways to say that, isn't that? There's like two ways to view that. Where you could be like, yo, I got no kids. I got no wife. I can do anything I want. Nobody can stop me. Or you'd be like, I got no kids. I got no wife. I have no one to blame for my failures. Isn't that what's nice about heaven? Kids or those sorts of things, you can blame your failures on them. Like if you're married and things in life aren't going your way, you can just be like, well, it's because my wife makes me go to dinner with her on occasion. I got to hang out with her friends. I got to go to her places. I got to do things for her. You can, it's her fault. You can be like, it's your fault why I'm not dope. Okay. That's what sucks when you've got nobody in your life, nobody to point to. There's nobody to point to. From all of my failures, all I can go is, you, Jordan, it was totally your fault. Well, not all of them were my fault. Not every failure of mine has been my fault. I want to pass the buck off to other people. Maybe I'll cover that in another episode. That's what I think I'm going to do in the future. I'm going to go over, I was thinking about doing that as a topic, but you know, as you all probably know by now, I wanted to play professional soccer, and I didn't. And I don't think I've ever recorded why I didn't make it as a professional soccer player. But I think that's an episode or a story for another time. I don't really want to do it right now. Because Oh, man, I almost did it. I just about did it. I just about broke down and went through the whole thing. For like 2 seconds there, I was about to dive into it. But I'm not really in the mood for that. I'm not. And I've had a pretty good day. Yesterday was fun. I shot a sketch with my brother from 9 until, from actually 8 a.m. until freaking 7:30 p.m., which for a 3.5-minute sketch, and the one we're shooting that is effectively just dialogue at a table, was way too long. It was just, oh my God. The director I worked with, he's all right. He's good. Here's the thing. He knows his stuff. But, like, so the thing about comedy is it doesn't matter really what the shots look like. The more I do of this stuff, the more I realize, like, cameras don't matter. Lenses do not matter. I mean, you have to get good sound. You do have to get good sound, as some of our sketches have experienced poor sound, and that's affected, I think, their viewership and our following on them. But, like, that's also part of the learning process is how do we get good sound? What equipment do we actually need to get good sound? But this dude had, like, every single toy you could possibly need. And here's what sucked is that he wanted to bring all of them to the shoot. Dude, we are shooting a sketch that has no props. It has no props. The premise is that a son is coming out to his immature father as gay, and his father keeps laughing every time he comes out, and the father, he goes, no, I love it, just the way you said it is funny, and it's a dialogue sketch, okay? It's gonna be great, I think it's hilarious, but, like, this guy had so much gear that you're like, why do you have all this? I think he had, like, 80, 90 grand personally in camera gear. That is crazy. He brought over like probably 15 grand in lenses. I'm telling you, if any comedian friends are listening to this, lenses don't matter. You need like 3 lenses. You could do everything with one. If you just had one quality fixed lens and you lit stuff reasonably well, you would be fine. You'll be fine whatever you want to shoot. The only issue is that, you know, y'all ain't talented. You're not. I'm sorry. I've seen the sketches that my peers put out and the stuff you guys... First, your premise is... Bleh. Bleh. Second, your performance is... Bleh. I mean... Sometimes I think people don't need acting classes. Brett, for example, never taken an acting class. Pretty solid on camera. But good God, I watched one. God, I'm turning into a shit-talking monster here. I want to say names so bad, especially because I asked him if I could be on their podcast, and these motherfuckers ignored me. God. They put out a sketch, and the premise was like a therapist. Oh, man. Fuck it. I'm going to tee it up. So if you want to do the investigation, you can figure out who. But they had a therapist in it, and it was a marriage therapist. And boy, was the writing bad. All right. I'm going to give you guys a secret. Here's the secret to what Brett and I do, okay? We write about every day, either together or separately. And if we write separately, we then go over what was written separately together. And neither of us is that kind to the other person. We're not jerks to each other. But we're not that kind. And we're both very honest about whether or not we thought a thing worked or didn't work, or whether a premise makes sense or doesn't make sense. Okay? We rewrite constantly. All right? You come out with a thing the first time you write a draft, it's trash. Whatever it is, it's bad. It's bad. So you just gotta rewrite and rewrite and rewrite, rewrite and rewrite. That's step one. Step two to how we get stuff done is that we are better than you. That's kind of the main thing of it all, is that we're better. We're just a lot more creative, funny, and talented, and able to accomplish more with less resources than any of you. That's, you know, I don't know. I think that's it. It's like people lately have been asking me, hey, Jordan, how do you do these shows on the road? And they think there's something I'm like magic or is, I outwork you and then do better on the show than you could do. Why am I able to do shows on the road? You want to know the secret why? Because they go well. I know y'all see me at an open mic. Guess what? Not the bits I would do. Working out trash new bits. Same for your dumb bar show for five people. Ain't gonna break out the good stuff for that, bruh. I ain't. It's not worth it. I gotta push the bad stuff to okay, all right? So that's the... So many people... Everyone always wants to know advice, but you don't even know what advice is until you start doing a thing. Like, you can't even ask the right questions until you've tried to get to a certain point on your own. And if you've never gotten to that point, like if you've never even endeavored to go down the path, you have no questions to ask. People go, how do you, let's just go with the practical one. How do you do shows on the road? Well, first I tried. That's how I got road work and started self-producing my own tour, is that I tried to do it. Have you tried to do it? You haven't tried to do it. Okay, well, then what do you want me to do about it? There's nothing I can do for you. I can't do anything for you. You've never tried. Why the fuck would I just pro bono give you any secrets to a thing that it's taken me several years to accomplish? Why would I do that? Why would... It shows me that you're not even serious about the thing if you're not willing to go down that path. I don't know. We were talking about... yesterday I was talking with... actually, that director with all the equipment. By the way... Oh, another point. It doesn't... I think sometimes having less resources is super valuable. If you have less resources and you still want to accomplish a thing, that's a really good scenario. Because if you have so much stuff at your fingertips, you've almost... You don't have to, like, make choices, or you don't have to, like... make decisions quickly. But if you have, like, if we're shooting a thing, if we're like, we only have this venue or this space for 3 hours, you better fucking believe we're gonna get every single shot we need in 3 hours, and that we're all gonna show up with all of our, like, everyone with their lines memorized off book, and even almost to the point you're ready to riff. So, like, I think limitations are great. Like, so I think I read a thing that, like, NASA has like a really tiny budget, and they almost do that by design, because giving them a tiny budget forces them to get creative about their solutions. I'm sure that NASA probably needs more money, and that would be helpful for NASA. But, I mean, there, it is truth that if you're like, you only have this amount of money or time to get this thing done, you're going to, if you know what that is, then you're going to do it. Even if it looks impossible, I think it brings you closer to accomplishing it. I think there's a point there that I, like, forgot, but then I don't know if I really care to revisit it. But yes, we shot this sketch yesterday with that dude, and just shooting like dolly shots don't matter. All you need for if you ever want to shoot, you want to shoot a comedy sketch, here are the only shots you need to get. Okay, God, I'm so nice for telling you this. That's so kind of me. Get a wide shot, one wide shot. Okay. If it's dialogue, get one wide shot on a tripod, nothing moving, okay? And then here are the other shots you need. If, let's say, it's a sketch with two actors in it, get a shot over one character's shoulder at the other character. Then go to the other side and get a shot from that character's shoulder into that character. And then, if you really want, you could get singles, meaning just only that person talking and then a single of just the other person talking. And then edit that bitch. That is how you make a sketch. You're welcome. I just saved you $500 at UCB. You are welcome. You don't need to take any UCB classes. That was it. I gave everyone in comedy the secret to shooting a sketch. Can you believe people pay for comedy classes? Like, what the fuck? Dude. There is an element of you're either funny or you're not, and then also walking down the path of funny and trying to get funnier or harness your funny. I can't believe people pay for that. How do you get funny? Is you say funny things and you find out some things were funny and some things weren't. It's only really experiential. You have there's nothing anyone, and especially a comedy class for anyone who's like only a couple years into comedy in general. That's so useless. How useless is that? A class? And then you got to look at the teacher. You got to be like, why? This is what you should always do. Whenever you're into any dealing ever, you just got to, any business dealing or teacher relationship or anything, is you always got to look at the other person across the table and you go, why the fuck are they doing this right now? And if the reason they're doing it right now, it would appear is monetary. If you're dealing with a thing like classes, get out. Get out. Right now. Don't go any further. Because they're just exploiting you. And they're exploiting your naivete and not knowing that what they are. Just saved you all that money. Dude, just actually more like $2,000. Those classes are like $500. You take four of them. I just saved you $2,000 in sketch comedy writing classes with this podcast. Can't believe anyone falls for that shit. Anyone falls for also anything that exploits them. I mean, it's all part of the learning experience of comedy is seeing how people take advantage of you and realizing how you're being taken advantage of. And then slowly you're able to push back and start, grabbing some of that land, time, money, etc. back. That's why I have trouble even wanting to apply to festivals, is because I don't know. I mean, if it's a prestigious festival, absolutely I would go do it. Like, Brett's gotten to some fantastic festivals. I haven't really applied. I really haven't, because I just go, do I really want to spend $30 so someone will watch 10 seconds of my tape and then go, we already have our white straight males for this festival, and then not even... And then not watch, a meaningful amount of it. No, I don't really feel like that. Or then on top of that, now you got to pay for, you got to fly to like, say, San Diego. So that's $500 in the hole. And then you got to get a hotel room. Maybe you split it with a comedian, but it's still like a couple $100. So you're looking at like anywhere from $700 to $1,000 so that you can do one set so that you can have a bullet point on your fake comedy resume, which no such thing exists in the world. A resume for comedy doesn't really exist. What matters is actually how funny you are and what you have made and produced It ain't like going to college. There's no going to college in comedy. There's no, and that comes, I went to Yale, and there is no Yale for comedy. I guess one could say it's SNL, but even then, you know, how many people wrote for SNL and now aren't doing shit? A lot. So it comes down to actually, what are you? And it's such a thing you can't even grab, like comedy, but that's what's important, I guess, to make things. Ugh, man. Not the first topic I planned on talking about, and I almost went down that soccer path for a moment, but, you know, that's what's great about this podcast is that you don't know. I don't even know. I just sit down, hit record, and we just see what happens. As you guys know, my sister is on Survivor, which is, it's been really fun to watch. I watched the second episode, and one thing that was a little bit frustrating is that she wasn't really in the second episode very much. Gotta make sure I don't spoil anything and blow up the NDA I signed. There is nothing scarier than when you sign an NDA and you know it actually means something. Because I signed an NDA with CBS and whatever the production company is that makes Survivor, and that NDA is scary. And I would hate to do anything that would F up my sister in any way. So I'm gonna talk, even though it's episode 3 is already out, I'm gonna stick in episode 2. It is really frustrating watching your sister get edited on a TV show and having no control over it. And yeah. It's annoying because you're like, put more of my sister in this shit, bro. She's awesome. What are we doing? Wasting our time on these idiots? No, put Allison in there. That's how I feel when I'm watching it. But last night I went to episode 3 of this season. Johnny Mundo, a professional wrestler, he was in New York and he invited Brett and me to his watch party in Midtown. And it was really fun to go. It's always really fun to like watch a show with a bunch of other people because you actually can feel the excitement of everyone. It's like why people go to like a live comedy show or why people go to movie theaters. It's so you have that like electricity in the air or just someone else laughing or jeering or cheering. Makes it more fun and you feel more when you're watching it. So went to his watch party and we were really lucky to, well, he knew we were coming. So at the very end of it, Johnny and B was there. B is the Asian MMA fighter who was on the show this season as well. Both of them survived to the next episode. And they were like, well, we'll do like a 5 or 10 minute Q&A. If anyone has any questions about Survivor, wrestling, feel free. And so a bunch of people asked a bunch of really good questions. And then this one dude stood up. And Johnny just got married to a female wrestler. And this guy stood up. And he was wearing like, it looked like he hadn't changed his style since like 1987. Like he had on like faded light wash, like blue jeans that were like, they were like mid baggy, but they were clear. They were the only jeans he's bought for 20 years. And then he was wearing like one of those, you know, those people that wear like restaurant t-shirts. It was like, he was wearing like a long sleeve restaurant t-shirt, like a Joe's Crab Shack restaurant t-shirt. So this dude was like kind of, he reminded me very much of like an Omaha, Nebraska in 1988. That's what he looked like. And he had a mini silver mullet, which is just a haircut. I mean, I've had a mullet in my life. I've had a mullet a couple times because I think that they're a very fun haircut to have. And, you know, if you're not going to have a traditional line of work, why should one have a boring-ass haircut? The reason most of you don't have mullets is because you can't walk around your corporate jobs with a fucking mullet. Because everyone would be too goddamn intimidated by you and they have to call you down to HR and be like, yo, Jordan, you got to cut that mullet. You're too much of an alpha for this room right now. So this dude stood up at the Q&A. He's like, all right, I just want to say something before I ask my question. I think Johnny's wife's name is Tara. I think that's it, but we'll just go with that for now. Tara, you're even more beautiful in real life than you are on TV. It was so sincere. And then he goes, and you're the only one I love more than Johnny Mundo. And you know, this dude is the biggest fan of Johnny Mundo. So funny that he stood up and said that. me, Brett, and D, Brett's girlfriend, just started cackling when he commented on how beautiful Tara is. So goddamn funny. So funny when guys, when they think they're being, like, he thought he was being, like, sweet or kind, but it's just weird now, because of the day and age we're in, to comment on the looks of a woman. It's just an uncomfortable move now. You just don't really comment on, or you keep it, if you do comment on anyone's look, you keep it as, like, he's good looking, she's good looking, I think she's pretty, but you don't go, like, I think you're most beautiful. Like, there's something about the way that people say it that kind of, like, makes you go, like, ugh. Like, a little, like, ugh, it's a little over the line. So we all start cackling. And then his question was, so, like, on the island on Survivor, so did you guys, like, all know each other beforehand or what? And Johnny just goes, dude, no. That's the whole point of the show, is we didn't know each other beforehand. So this guy is such a fan of Johnny Mundo, the professional wrestler, that he came to a watch party for a non-wrestling show that he didn't understand at all and watched the whole thing. What a fucking level of insane fandom to have. To sit through a show that you don't care about, you don't get the rules of, you don't even, and Survivor is a show you can't really just tune into, because you gotta understand the relationships and the power dynamics of everything. It's not a show. It's a show that has to be watched serially. You gotta watch every episode in order so you can understand what the narrative is and what the trajectory of all the characters or all the people are on the show. And this dude's such a fan of Johnny that he came there just to see Johnny in person. Amazing. So amazing. I also saw in my research that WWE has a wellness program, and I think it's so funny that the WWE has a wellness program. Simply because, like, they're just kidding themselves if any of those dudes are not taking some sort of performance enhancers. And also, I think, let me just say this. Wrestling is fun. It's really, it's a great show. It takes a lot of athleticism, but it's not a sport. It's more of it's a show or a dance. It's not a sport in the sense that, like, football is a sport. There's a winner and a loser, and there's rules everyone has to abide by. Wrestling, it's pre-written, so it's not a sport. So it's like nobody's really gaining an advantage by taking steroids other than they look huge and it might increase the theatricality of the thing itself. So it makes me laugh that WWE has this silly wellness program as if it fucking matters that these dudes take steroids. They have to take something to help recover from the beating that they're putting themselves through. It's insane to me. And that's why, you know why they actually do it? It's because they had that really tragic thing happen, I don't know, 15 years ago with Chris Benoit, where he murdered his family and then killed himself. And they blamed it on steroids. But they didn't want to blame it on the real culprit, and that is CTE. It's excessive trauma to the brain that he was living in a fog that was driving him crazy, and it was just a blow after blow after blow to his head that led him to complete mental instability and unhealth that could allow him to do such a horrible thing. That's the actual truth of it. But then they run this, like, steroid program, like, taking steroids is going to make you have roid rage. No doubt, having a ton of testosterone course through your body probably changes your mood. Y'all remember being a teenager? Jesus. I remember being a teenager, and I was getting yellow cards and almost getting kicked out of every soccer game. And it's weird because I'm aggressive. Yeah, a little bit. I'm a little aggressive as a person, maybe. Maybe. But, like, that was, like, over the line. And the reason is because I just had so much testosterone running through my body that I couldn't control my emotions. You remember being a teenager, you were just, like, angry and you didn't know why. And it was just because all of a sudden your balls were just shooting teeth through your body. But that, it doesn't make you kill people. It's the excessive brain trauma. That's what I think led Chris Benoit to do what he did. But so they run this wellness program because they don't want to blame it on the fact that wrestling in and of itself is so hard on your body, just your every part of your body, including your brain, that it could just be totally detrimental and a danger not only to that person's health, but their sanity and ultimately everyone else around them. That was a very serious point. I think right now, if you're not standing and giving me an ovation, you should. I deserve it. I deserve it. Let's take a moment for this ad read, brah. Let me get this thing. Let me pull it up really fast. Oh my God, I'm a dunce. 1 second. Oh my God, so unprofessional. This is why I need, this is really, really why I need someone to, you know, be my intern or something. Does someone want to be my intern? I'll pay you nothing. I'm not making enough money off this thing yet for an intern, bro. And that's where you guys come in. You need to start telling some more people about this. I think this podcast is growing. Yo, dog, we're breaking 1,000 now. Let's get to 5. What are you doing right now? Why aren't you telling more people about this podcast? If you enjoy it, be like, I have a way to kill an hour of your week where you're driving to somewhere and it might be enjoyable for you. But here we are, mybookie.net. Hey, sports fans, football season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with mybookie.net. Mybookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score. Mybookie.net lets you play online and win big. Use promo code ANXIETY when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. Mybookie.net has in-game live action on every major league event, even esports. There's no better time to join Mybookie.net than today. Go to mybookie.net to open an account and start winning. Use promo code ANXIETY when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. Get in on the action. Visit mybookie.net. Get in on the action. Visit mybookie.net's website today and use promo code ANXIETY to get a 100% sign-up bonus. Mybookie.net, promo code ANXIETY, guys, for a 100% bonus. No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited. Yo, I messed up once reading that whole thing. I felt a lot of nerves there. You ever have to read out loud during class? That's the nice part about being a grown-up. You never have to read in front of the whole class and embarrass yourself. Not going to lie. I was pretty good at reading. I kind of lost it there one time, but generally speaking, I'm a pretty solid reader growing up as a young boy. And I remember one time I wanted to mess with this girl sitting next to me. I went to a Catholic school, and there was a girl sitting next to me, and in our Catholic school taught us about, like, world religions. So we were reading about Judaism, and we were reading about the holidays that Jews celebrate, and we were reading about Hanukkah, and there was a girl sitting next to me. I think it was Molly Barnhouse. She was in the seat next to me, and I kind of was reading. I would always read ahead because it was just so boring because someone reading out loud is, like, not fast enough to actually get the shit out, you know? And I just want to – you just want to read and get the ideas. You don't have to sit in how slow someone reads out loud. Reading out loud is so much slower than just reading in your brain. And she was coming up on a word, and it was Hanukkah, which is spelled with a CH in the front of it. And she was in the seat next to me, and I saw it coming down the line like a sentence away. And so I started going, Chanukah, Chanukah. It's pronounced Chanukah, Chanukah. And so Molly comes to the sentence and goes, during the winter in December, Jews celebrate Chanukah. Dude, don't tell me bullying isn't a little bit funny at times. That's pretty benign. But how hilarious is that? Just to inception into someone's head that it's pronounced Chanukah. Bullying ain't bad in that sense. I saw an article, a headline, because that's all the time that our generation has for reading now, these articles. You know what? Reading articles is trash. Everyone reads a billion articles and they don't do anything for any of us. It really only matters if you read books. That's where the real readers are at. The bitches are reading articles. The real grown-ups are reading full-on books. But I saw an article that said a lot of teens are being bullied on Instagram. I mean, of course they are. I feel bad for kids these days, because that's what was nice about when we were growing up, is that bullying, if you got bullied, the second the school bell rang for the end of class or school, the bullying was over. It was an 8 to 3 or 4 p.m. I don't know what time kids get out of school. That was it, 8 to 3 p.m. That was the whole time you could get bullied. And now just kids get bullied 24/7. They just have people bullying, text them all day, Snapchat them, videos bullying them, send them, comment on all of their photos, mean stuff. That sucks. I mean, I guess it's easy because you can always just log out, but then you're going to have no social life. And then on top of that, like when I was growing up, the only way you found out you weren't invited to a party is if people were talking about it the next day. But now you could probably get just real-time updates that you're a fucking loser. Ugh, that blows, doesn't it? You can just see a video of all your friends hanging out, having a good time, not even probably talking. I bet you the friends aren't even talking. They're all just on their phones. So sad. It's all... these things are the worst. Phones are the fucking worst. I know right now you're getting my podcast probably on your phone, but if every single one of us took our phones and threw them into a river, we would all be better off. We really would. That's why I want to get so big. That's my real goal in all of this, is that I want to get so big that I don't have to do any of this fucking social media shit. That's the end game for me, is to get to the point where my phone is talk and text. Talk and text. And the only people who can talk and text with me are close friends, significant other, and family. And nobody else. I can't wait to delete some of your numbers. You know who you are. I can't wait to delete your numbers. Every time I write a new joke, I think I'm one step closer to deleting your fucking number and never having to interact with you ever again. That's kind of a joke, but I'm kind of serious. I really can't wait to be big enough to not have to interact with some people. So Aziz? I think it was Aziz. He was talking a year ago or something. He was like, did you know that your phone is toxic? Social media is making us all feel bad. Whoa! That's what he said, so he deleted his Instagram. And it's like, yeah, how convenient, Aziz. Of course you can delete your Instagram, because you're fucking super famous and can already pack out every venue you want with people, even post that weird sex story that was on the line of the Me Too movement, not really sure what to make of all of it. But yeah, he was like, you should all get rid of this social media shit, it's so bad for you! It's like, yeah, I would love to be there, but I'm not. So I have to wade in the cesspool. I'm in the swamp, baby. I'm in the swamp. I wish Trump would drain this swamp. I'm going to keep really superficially political here, but like Trump's slogan was drain the swamp. And that was his slogan. And now let's assume he's drained the swamp. My slogan when I run for president is going to be like, I'm going to refill the swamp. The swamp wasn't that bad. I, Jordan Rabold, am running for president. And it has come to my attention that we have drained the swamp. And what we have found is even more disgusting than we thought. So I, if elected your president of the United States, vow to refill this whole swamp. Yes, I will refill the swamp. The swamp will be twice the size of the old swamp. It's going to be, the whole country is a fucking swamp. It's my campaign, bro. It's going to be my campaign if you elect me for president. That's what happens when I'm in a good mood, baby. That's what happens when I'm in a good mood. Good Lord. Would you vote for me? I would. Why not? Why wouldn't you vote for me? I know a couple episodes ago I said I would never change for anybody, and my girlfriend does not listen to my podcast. Well, because she doesn't even, dude. Why should she listen to my podcast? She hears me talk all the time. She's like, oh, she doesn't think anything I do is magical. You know, that's what your girlfriend never thinks anything you do is magical ever. Yeah. So I just got distracted by something, but yeah. So I said I would never change anything. I would never change anything for anybody. And you know what? I'll never. She goes, "You're such a liar. 'Cause I asked you to stop biting your nails and you immediately stopped biting your nails." And you know what? She's right. But she did say that she would have way more sex with me if I stopped biting my nails. What an incentive. I was like, that's, yeah. I mean, I don't even know if I want more, but I just want to have the option to have more. I want to have the option. So yeah, if not biting my nails will let me have that option, I'll pick it up. I'll pick that option up 100 times. Every time I pick that option up, I never would leave that one on the ground. So yeah, I guess I'm a liar and a hypocrite, but I'm not, I think on the big things, you know, I ain't gonna change. I ain't changing for nobody or nothing. That's what's up. I'm staying the same forever. Good God. We had we got pulled over this past weekend by a police officer. Brett was driving, and here is what happened is we were driving home from our gig and I don't know where, because my life is a blur and it's just Airbnbs and Motel 6s. Motel 6s. I mean, they give you these beds that are, they're like almost big enough for two people. They're like almost. They're like close. I almost want to not bring a host just because I want my own fucking bed. That's where I'm at on this, like, on this comedy tour thing. Is I almost am just like, you know what, Brett? It's me and you. There's no host because I'm sick of sharing a bed with you because you're 6'5". It sucks sharing a bed with a gargantuan human. Someone who's 6'5", their limbs are too long. You're too tall. It's annoying. You shouldn't be that tall. Nothing fits if you're that tall. You don't fit on planes. That's why every time I get us plane tickets to go home or something, bruh, I'm putting Brett in that fucking middle seat. Fuck you, Brett. Yeah, bitch, get in that middle seat. How's that feel? How's that shit feel? Fucking sucks, doesn't it? You can't even fit in that middle seat. That's what I thought. Put Brett 6'5" ass in that middle seat. So Brett's driving, and all the cop, like, had pulled someone over, and for some reason, I don't know why, dude, I don't know how cops work, they start going across four lanes of highway about 10 miles per hour slowly to pull someone over to the right side of the highway, which is the side you're supposed to pull over on, not on the left. I think that was why they were doing it, but, you know, you're going like 65, 70 down the highway. Why are y'all driving so fucking slow down the highway? Why don't they just drive like 40 and then gradually go over? Instead, though, he puts his flashing lights up, like, kind of suddenly, like, Brett couldn't see it from a distance, so Brett has to swerve around the cop. He didn't really go that close to him, but he honks as he's doing it. This cop then pulls over Brett. I don't know, I guess cops, like, they can just pull you over when they want. I think that's the other thing. Do any of us actually know any of our real rights? Do we? I have no clue. I have no idea. But we end up, we get pulled over by this cop. And we're like, he comes to our window. And he is so aggressive immediately. He's like, "License, registration. Do you not fucking see me? Do you not see me?" He didn't say the F word. He goes, "Do you not see me? Did you not see me?" And we're like, we were trying to swerve around you because it was really sudden. He was like, "License or registration. Give me your license or registration." We're like, all right. We give it to him. We give him license registration, disappears in the back. He is gone for like 10 fucking... Well, then he goes, "What are you guys doing?" Actually, I've left this part. It's an important detail. He goes, "What are you guys going? What are you doing?" Does it fucking... Why do cops always ask where you're going? Does it fucking matter where I'm going? It doesn't matter where I'm going. What I'm doing. I'm on a highway driving to another fucking place. That's what you use it for. It doesn't matter where I'm going and what I'm doing. What is it... I want a cop to tell me what's the significance of that question. Because I can't think of any significance of why you need to know where I'm going. Obviously, I'm not going to tell you if I'm doing some illegal shit. I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to go sell crack. I'm not going to say that. So we go, we're driving home from a show. We just did a show in Boston. We're stand-up comedians. And he goes, all right, give me a license registration. Storm's back. He's gone for like, I'm not kidding you, like 15 minutes. We're sitting in the car and we're like, dude, he was so aggressive. We should get our voice memos out just in case something like he starts getting real aggressive with us and just if we need it and like stuff goes bad just so we can cover our asses. Because I don't think we did anything illegal. I guess that's the other thing. If cops like kind of pull you over, they really can ding you up on anything. They could be like, you were driving recklessly, dangerously. You didn't yield to my warning lights or to my sirens or something. They're going to come up with a thing that they can hit you up on and charge you $150 and kill your insurance on. So then he's gone 15 minutes, finally comes back. He goes, all right, first, I need to apologize. Came at you in a huff. I was just, you know, it was kind of a dangerous situation. And just, you know, future reference, if you see those lights, you got to yield to them no matter what. And it's like kind of crazy. You're like, you want me to stop on a highway? I'm going to get fucking blasted from behind then. But so then he's like, I'm going to let you guys off with a warning. Just drive safe and get home. Have a good night. So we're low on gas and we drive off. And I say to Brett, I go, he gave us a warning because you can't give anyone a ticket for nothing. You can't be like, I'm giving you a warning that you have to continue following the law just like you did. So we make a stop at a gas station then, and we park, filling up the car. We go in, see if there's any snacks worth buying. I don't buy any of that shit because I'm trying to get jacked, bro, and not be fat like everybody else on Earth. I see the cops then pull into the same gas station as us, and I'm like, shit. And I kind of am like, I don't want to have an interaction with him. Anyway, Brett sees the cop too, and to Brett's credit, and this is a smart move, walks up to me and goes, hey man, I was really sorry back there. I hope everything's okay. And I didn't mean to like scare you or anything when we were driving and stuff. Thanks for letting us off with the warning. And the cop's like, oh no, it's all right. I just, you know, I shouldn't have came in. I came in a little hot there. So they're both, you know, being really cordial towards each other. And then he goes, you know, just get home safe and have a good one. And then the cop turns, wait, before Brett turns, goes, wait. And also, ain't nothing wrong with giving Tom Brady a blowjob. And Brett, we're in Boston or outside of Boston, and Brett was like, Brett gave the guy a polite laugh and goes, and he thought it was just like some sort of joke that like Boston person would say to a fellow Bostonian because everyone loves Tom Brady. And then a few minutes later, it dawned on Brett, oh, he has a joke where he talks about, like, Ben Affleck has the most, like, Boston way of debating someone, and one of Brett's tags in his joke is about, like, give Tom Brady a blowjob, attend a cop's funeral, commit a homophobic hate crime. Those are, like, some of the tags he says. So what happened was this cop had got her heard we were comedians, took Brett's license and registration, then went and Googled Brett's name in his phone, found Brett's YouTube clip of stand-up online, watched it, and was like, all right, let's see if this motherfucker's funny. Saw Brett was funny, and then was like, I'm not going to give him a ticket, and let us off without anything. How dope is that? That was so cool. So freaking cool. Anyway, really, really, just really funny to... It's also kind of funny when you run into a cop when they're not in cop mode. That guy was, like, not being a cop in that moment. It was kind of like the game had ended. You know, when you and, like, you ever play sports and you and, like, this person are going at it. Like, you're both playing really, really hard. And then the game ends. Then maybe, like, somehow you run into each other, like, at a restaurant later. And you're like, yeah, man, I'm really sorry about all that. I kind of came in hot there, wasn't I? And they're like, yeah, I know what you... It's all right. I was being very aggressive too. You both have this like really cordial way of interacting with each other when you're not like on the field. One thing my girlfriend always says is that she says I'm a slob. I think she needs to tone it down because I'm really trying. I'm not that much in the world of slobs. I'll say I'm like a 4 out of 10 because it gets way worse than me. First, I always do my dishes. And nothing, like, sometimes I take my clothes off and I leave them on the ground. I'll concede that. I'll concede that point, okay? You're right. If if you're listening, you're right. I agree. I'm not the cleanest person in the world, but also not the worst. She is so neat and tidy. It's insane. Everything is like sterilized. Nobody could keep up with this level of cleanliness. So whenever I'm at her place, first, sometimes she doesn't even let me cook. And it gets, and right now, it's like, hey, I have to eat dinner. I have no choice here. I need to eat the dinner because I can't not eat food. And I need to prepare food or else I have to eat all of your food. And now I'm eating all your food, which is costing you money, and I feel bad. Like, sometimes, I remember one time, she was like, I had these chicken breasts I bought, and I just wanted to make chicken breasts in the pan. It's not that crazy of a dish. Olive oil, salt, and pepper, boom. You got yourself a delicious chicken breast. I'm just laughing how stupid I am. And I was like, is it okay if I'm going to make a chicken breast? Do you want anything? And she goes, you can't cook right now. You're going to make a mess. And I don't want you using it. You're going to get oil all over the stove and everything. And I was like, okay, but seriously? So then I started Googling how to cook chicken breast in a microwave just because I absolutely needed sustenance. I was going to be starving and be miserable and all that. And finally, when she saw that I was about to cook chicken breast in a microwave, she was like, are you fine? You can just cook. But anyway, so since I'm super conscientious whenever at her place to try to be clean, and the other night, apparently, all I did was I got to her place late and I had yogurt and berries and granola, and I was going to just have that for a nighttime snack before I went to bed, and made myself that, and I was like, I did it, ate it, washed my dish, put it away and everything, put the yogurt in the fridge, and I was like, and cleaned the sink afterward. Went and took the little thing that catches any excess food, knocked that into the trash can so there was no food on it, and I was like, I did it. I was cleanly. Anyway, next morning we wake up, and she goes, oh my God, you got yogurt prints all over the fridge. How the fuck do you get yogurt prints on a fridge? I'm curious. That was one of those things that was so in, like, such a crazy accusation that I was kind of like, I need to see proof that I did that. You can't just accuse me of getting yogurt handprints all over the place. I need to see confirmed proof that my hand touched yogurt and then I just, like a toddler, slapped the fridge and left my handprint there. I need the proof that that happened. You can't just accuse me of that. Everyone's getting jammed up. I've heard this thing called cuffing season. I cannot stand ideas like that. When people say like stuff like cuffing season, it's so fucking dumb. So fucking dumb. But everyone around me is getting jammed up with girls. Everyone. Brett's got a girlfriend. I got a girlfriend. Mermaid Margot's a girl. She's jammed up by being a girl. Guys, she's trans. Shvendi. I think I've talked about him. Shvendi is what you find at the bottom of the swamp after you drain it. That's how I describe Shvendi, if you guys don't recall from previous episodes about him. But he's got a girlfriend, and it looks like it's going well. But I was asking, yeah, he seems to really like her. And she goes, I don't know, she's kind of... this chick's kind of bossy. I was like, yeah, but you kind of like bossy, which he does. He likes being bossy. He kind of likes someone who nags him a little bit because it's what he needs in his life, and he knows it. And he goes, yeah, she's kind of bossy. Like, she's always like, why are you always vaping? Could you imagine breaking up with someone because they're complaining about how often you are vaping? That if the thing keeping you from being with someone was vaping. I think I've told this story before, but that guy, he's the vape king. He's the vape king of Brooklyn. Nobody vapes more than Shvendi. He was just bragging to me right before I did this podcast that he has bought so much vape juice at the vape store that he gets a free one next time he goes. That is so much vaping. I think if I stabbed him with a knife, blood wouldn't come out. It'd just be a cloud of billowy smoke shooting out of his liver. How much fucking vaping do you do? Everyone always does a ton of vaping. It's crazy. I don't, vaping's got to be horrible for you. There's no way. There's, in 10 years, we're going to be like, yeah, everyone should have just been smoking cigarettes with no filters that whole time. You should have just been doing tobacco leaves. That's probably, out of those, that option, I guarantee you that tobacco leaves is going to be the best bet out of all of them. Untreated, unfertilized tobacco leaves. Does that exist? That's got to be the best option for people. There's no way. There's no way vaping is better for you. There's no way. We're going to find out that vaping causes 10 times the amount of cancer. And that everyone is fucking up horribly with these vape. And that is why now I can't be sponsored by a vape company. Where we at? Bro, we did it. 50 minutes. I don't even think I think I paused 3 times in that. I gave it to you. I gave it to y'all. I gave you my heart. I gave you my soul. I gave you everything I had. I'm really glad that y'all listened. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. If you could, leave me a positive review on iTunes. Come on. Will you go on there? Will you write 5 stars and then say I enjoyed it and what you enjoyed about it? Would you please do that? Somebody? If you're getting to this point in the podcast, just do it. Or you know what? Don't. Just keep listening to this podcast and tell some friends about it. Let's get this thing. Let's make this podcast bigger, bro. Let's get more listeners on this thing. I'm working hard every week, you know? I want this thing to be huge. I've said it so many times before. I'm going to be some fucking indie rock band in 10 years who's doing stand-up comedy shows in people's living rooms for $50, all right? Let's fucking get me there. All right. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. I love every single one of you. And I hope I didn't say anything too offensive. But if I did, I'm really sorry about it preemptively. And I didn't mean it. And whoever I hurt is right. Bye.